This episode of the Off Course Podcast is sponsored by UST Mamiya. Their graphite shaft offerings are represented by the word quality, performance, and feel, which I believe is an excellent way to describe their lineup. Whether you are familiar with their early staples like the Pro Force and Gold Series, their recoil iron shafts, or you're like me and currently exploring their Link offering, they're bound to have an option that suits your game and style. Visit www.ustmamiya.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a special episode of the original Off Course. This is episode 100. We made it. We are here. I've been counting down the weeks. I was ready to do like 3 weeks to get it here faster. Fortunately, I have a good guy on the other side keeping me in line and making sure I don't go crazy. His name is Josh Babbitt. A lot of you know him as JB, and I thought it very fitting that he join me for my 100th episode. He's on the call here right now. Joshua, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I'm one of those that didn't think you'd get here. I thought we'd cancel you before this.
Yeah, I think you're my biggest fan. Don't lie to me. I talked to my dad the other day, can barely get him to listen. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you're like number one fan. I was looking for one of those big, you know, hand things with
they're called foam fingers.
The foam fingers. Yeah. See, we've already done it. I wanted an off course foam finger in your hand and you don't even have one.
No, I don't. But 100 episodes, and I want to be the first to say congratulations. I know when this started, it was a different format, and you've kind of taken this ball and run with it, and we are one a week. So here we are 2 years later, and we're going to be at 500 episodes soon.
So you're saying I can move to like the 3 a week?
No.
Oh, okay. Patience is a virtue. Well, it's been a really fun ride so far. Obviously, you mentioned there have been some changes. We've had some unbelievable guests join the show. We've had some great conversations about the game of golf. I'd like to say I've learned a lot, or maybe I just got to say a lot. I can't really decide what it is. Josh, do you have any sort of feedback on the Off Course Podcast?
I have lots, but we're not going to get into that at this point. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you think back, first, did you think 100 episodes would happen? And second, give me some highlights, because we're going to get into some highlights later on that I want you to share, you know, when maybe it wasn't recording yet.
Yeah.
And things like that. But give me some highlights. My favorite moment, somebody asked me this morning, in all your shows is when you dropped the "I'm a wobbly Caucasian."
I don't think I said a wobble. Yeah.
It was wobbly.
What was that
Caucasian
about? I don't even remember. It had to have something to do with drinking, because like some sort of, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Give me some highlights. Like, who have you had on? You've had on basically a who's who of who's in the industry.
Yeah.
From every major company, golfers. You've had a country music star and Colt Ford on. Like, give me some highlights of things you've been able to talk about, not necessarily guests.
Am I unofficially not the host for the 100th episode? Is that what's
you are
going
not
on here?
All right,
sweet.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna ride the wave. Yeah, I think it's like asking me who my favorite child is, which is Calvin, obviously, my one child. But yeah, I think back to some of the early episodes. I mean, obviously, we've had a great friendship with Mr. Michael Versco, who spent a number of times joining us on the show and sharing the incredible insight that he's got into the game. Colt Ford was an interesting one. I got to do that live at the THP Tech Studio, getting to watch him hit the island green at Coeur d'Alene on the simulator with relative ease. And I think one of the ones I really enjoyed was having Jamie Sadlowski come on and just tell us a bit about his story. I mean, obviously he was a pioneer of the long drive concept in terms of physical fitness side of the story. So having him tell us some of his experiences and having Noel there to keep me honest all the way through was great. So
And then, I've kind of figured you would go with a Canadian as your one of your favorites.
Obviously, but yeah.
Speaking of Noelle, I've had the pleasure of speaking with her this past week, and she had this to say about your 100th episode. Dan is a natural host, and he makes being on Off Course fun. I enjoy the conversations we have on the show and appreciate the research he does before every guest. Easy for me to say. Great job, my friend. Congrats on 100 episodes. I'll be a guest and a listener for life.
Wow. So she's already doing better than my dad does. That's great.
Apparently so. It just takes non-family.
That's awesome.
Over the course of these 2 years, you've had a lot of equipment in your bag. Give me one piece of equipment that has kind of stood out to you or made you get super excited. Obviously, you get excited about a lot of them, but give me one piece in recent time that gets you excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say one, right? But I can think of an experience I had, and it was an off-course inclusion as well. I came to the tech studio and joined you and Mr. Chris Koski from Adele. And we got to walk through SMS, the new wedges that they've brought out in the last year, talk through the system, the concept they have in place, and actually put some video on it as well. That went into the bag immediately, those three wedges, and had a significant impact on my wedge game. The control, super fun. But more interesting to me, it's one thing to say you found a product you really like. It's another thing to have your friends hit it and then basically ask you, like, are you done with these yet? Because I want to own them. And that's happened to me numerous times with Adele's wedges already. I've not conceded that yet. They are very much still in the bag, which is great. But it's the feedback you get. They sound unbelievable. So, I mean, there's a limited amount of things you can do with a wedge of that style, but to incorporate this swing match system, unbelievable in the concept that's in there and how simplified it really can be. So I'll probably lead with that. I mean, there's a lot of other things I could touch on, but yeah, we've only got 45 minutes.
One thing that you had on this show a while back was SST puring, and you went into it with I don't really think I need that, and you came out of it and made a post like, I need to get this done immediately. And that was Nick Sherburn on the show.
Yeah.
And Nick has been on multiple times talking about fitting, and he's about as knowledgeable in fitting as anybody in the world. Nick's a listener, and I wanted to read you a little quote. He said, I've enjoyed being a guest on the show. Dan is very passionate about everything golf and makes it fun to get lost in golf talk for hours. I wish him and the show continued success. Dan's passion of the game is meant to be heard. Wow. When you hear that your passion of the game is meant to be heard, I can see you smiling, but how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Like Dr. Phil a little bit there.
That's great, man. Obviously he speaks beautifully, so we might just want to let it stand on its own. No, it's been fun to be able to do this and to get the feedback. Every week we have a discussion on the THP community forums that have the show as a single focus, and it's great to get that feedback. Most of the time it's about the guest, which I'm thrilled with, but every once in a while I get a little taste of, you know, really appreciate the perspective you're bringing as well. And it suited me nicely because for a long time I was the golfer at my course, my course with, you know, private membership. So we all sort of know each other, and I was the guy people go and ask golf questions about because I was the lunatic fringe of the membership. Right. So as coined properly. So I was sharing my knowledge individually, and I realized how much joy I got out of that. So to be able to take this to a less limited experience and then bring in much smarter people than me to sort of validate it has been an absolute thrill.
Well, you mentioned lunatic fringe, and the person who coined that phrase is none other than Jason Finley.
No, we can't. Had on. We don't want this quote. No.
And multiple times. And for everybody listening along, Dan had no idea I did this. He has no idea what these quotes are. I'm reading them off my screen. I commissioned some. I could have gotten 100 because you've had a lot of different guests. But Jason Finley had this to say: Dan, congrats on 100 episodes. Continuing to bring content to THPers and talk with some of the industry folks who the people of THP want to hear from. In addition to 100 episodes, the engagement and involvement in the forum from you is always great to see, and I know people have grown to know and trust your point of view on golf products. Finally, as the only winning captain of the THP Granddaddy team and the one who successfully managed to drum your opponent in singles, your legend lives on in THP lore. Looking forward to helping you build that legend and retain that status. Congrats and keep up the good work.
Wow.
I mean, that's one of the nicest things Jason's ever said.
I didn't know he had that in him. Are you sure that came from him? Was it from an email from him or is it like soft quote?
No, it's from an email from him. Now, I can't say if he didn't have a PR agency write that. I mean, Jay Newt might be listening in and maybe had something to do with that. No, Jason, he sent this back right away. And I thought that was pretty good. You know, there was a thing going on that you were the only Granddaddy winning captain, but you were also one of the only teams that didn't have to play J-Rod. And we're wondering how much of a coincidence that is.
Yeah. I mean, J-Rod has a spectacular ability to play well under par, well under pressure.
And he's never lost a THP event.
Has he not? Has he ever lost anything at THP?
I'm not sure. I mean, he's one of the nicest people you would, if plus handicap means a 10, he's one of the nicest people you would ever meet. He makes THP's memories last forever, but he's undefeated in the Granddaddy and the Gauntlet. He's never lost one.
So the idea is our best chance this year to win a Granddaddy is just for him to not show up.
Pretty much.
Okay. I notice that you're not saying that about Finley, despite the fact that he is a bit of a stone cold killer on the golf course as well.
He is. He's one of my favorite guests on this show because he can bring the product knowledge like very few can and answer any questions, but he has a way of giving that feedback to our audience tailored. And he's in tune to what they're thinking, but also he knows the lunatic fringe.
Do you know what I love about Finley is that, and I guess I could call him Jason Finley and be a little bit more professional, but I'm not about that life. So, you know what I love about Finley is he has an unreal ability to identify as something. Obviously, he's got the Darth Finley moniker that's been bestowed on him, even though he's tried to damage that reputation way too many times as being just a decent human being. But when it comes down to it, he is the guy you don't want to face on a golf course when it's him or you. He is the guy who is the ball guy at Callaway, and he's got this incredible identity there. The only disappointing thing I have about Finley is he gave up on trying to collect every single Truvis that was ever made. I wanted an entire wall at Callaway HQ built off Truvis.
I feel like his office, the walls would start to shrink in.
Yeah. Not that they already don't, right?
Right. But, you know, that wall that he's got there is pretty impressive.
What do you think at Callaway HQ, who has more product in their office at the current moment?
Sean Toulon.
I was going to say, is it balls on Finley's wall or putters on Toulon's desk?
I mean, if you count the individual balls, maybe Finley, but we did the live stream with Sean a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't watched that, you can still catch it. It's fascinating. He had so much product behind him on the desk.
A couple drivers, I think, back there. And at one point you asked him about a certain, and this, I was dying laughing. I didn't have to be professional. I was just watching. You asked him about a certain product. I think it was a putter. And he like starts rooting through a drawer and you can hear other putters getting moved out of the way. And there is a putter head that he yanks out. He's like, oh, here it is.
So I've been in Sean's office a lot, and I shouldn't say a lot, numerous times. There's always stuff in there, and it's a cool place to visit. And Sean's a great person to chat with about golf equipment because he's known as the putter guy, Toulon design and this and that. But he's an industrial design guy and has been in golf, one of the most influential people of the last five decades. Wow, he's pretty old.
nor are you.
Yeah, true. But, you know, when you're in his office, you'll find some stuff and he has a story for all of it. So last time I was there, he had this putter that you could tell wasn't new, but was reimagined. And it's a cool place to be. Jason's office has some really cool Truvis for some awesome courses.
Yeah. Hideaway's obviously hanging out there as well. What I think is funny about Sean's office is on the desk, you see all these different versions or protos or whatever it is. But I like how flexible they get with the finishes, because you've seen with small batches recently come out, you've seen blues, you've seen almost like a chocolate brown. But those are things we saw on his desk, in at least in principle, years
three
ago,
or 4 years ago,
just hanging out there. And like, Sean, can I just, you know, have that? you look done with that. It's fine.
The first time we did, it might have been the second time we did the Odyssey experience with Luke and Sean and Tony, we were at a course called Hammock Beach, and we were on the putting green on the ocean course, which it's kind of a fitting name because the putting green is actually on the ocean. I mean, you look over and the waves are crashing in from the beach, and he pulled out this putter out of his bag, totally nonchalant. And it was, I want to say it was a Madison, and it had this blue finish that he called something mist. And I said, you can't gloss over this. Like, nobody's ever seen this before. And he's like, oh yeah, go ahead and take a picture and post it up on the forum. So I did that, and people lost their mind. And that was 5 or 6 years ago, and now it's finally coming into the garage. It was very cool to see that concept come to life.
Was that the one that it didn't actually have a weight underneath? It had like the weight design, but it wasn't actually a weight. Yeah, I remember that.
That was his personal putter that week.
Man, that's such a funny thing, because for us, the lunatic fringe, you see a picture like that, it sticks in your mind for years. Whereas then just like every day in the office, you just happen to glance at something like that.
And, you know, I get certain things like that. Like, I got a Truvis from Jason once that was a color sample, and it was different from all the others. And it's really cool. And, you know, going on just over 14 years now, I still get just as excited now as I did before. And I know you do as well. When you come over to the tech studio, you see all the stuff and you're rooting through it like it's a golf galaxy here or a worldwide golf. A couple weeks ago, to make an easy transition, you had an old friend, Jose Miraflor, on the show.
Yeah.
And we have the Morgan Cup signups going on right now. Well, when this airs, it'll just be completed. The teams, Team Hackers, Team Paradise. Jose's part of Team Paradise. You've been a part of that event.
I'm going to be on Paradise this year. I've taken over the captaincy. Did you hear on the episode with Jose?
I did hear that. I don't believe it, but I did hear it. When you think back of another industry, I'll call it icon legend, Jose was a member. He was part of Sean's team at TaylorMade. He's worked at all different places. He's now, you know, one of the big people in charge at Cobra Puma. He was a guest here and shared so much information as far as equipment and design, and he's been involved in that entire process.
Yeah, you had him and Mike Yagley to the tech studio earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Was that January or was it December of last year?
December.
Yeah, and December just happened to be the NyQuil month for me, so I wasn't able to make it down. But I'm thrilled every time they get involved with anything that includes THP. I mean, they show a passion for the Morgan Cup that's pretty much unrivaled by anyone. And in fact, I would be willing to bet that the reason why the Morgan Cup continues to exist is more on them than you.
It is.
Which is probably pretty fair. But it's going to have a different identity this year, which is really exciting because you guys are heading to a new couple courses. Old Waverly and Mossy Oak, I believe, are the correct names.
Yes.
Over there in Alabama, which I've still never golfed in.
Mississippi, by the way.
Oh, is it Mississippi? Sorry, yes. Alabama is a different one. I've never golfed in Mississippi either. So, I'm very happy to come support you in whatever way I can.
Well, Jose had this to say.
Okay, yeah.
I think what makes the off-course podcast so good is Dan. I think he has such a good pulse on the industry, trends, and peeps. And that makes it make that... It makes is easy. This is really hard for me to read. I'm going to start this over. I think what makes the off-course podcast so good is Dan. I think he has such a good pulse on the industry, trends, and peeps that it makes it easy to talk shop with him. I really appreciate you, Dan. Keep up the great work.
Wow.
And Dan's just grinning.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. You know, to hear some of these guys who I've originally met either at an event or at their office in California, I've been fortunate enough to go out with you a couple of times and shoot some content or learn about some new product, to have this sort of different avenue to discuss the golf industry or just their product with them has been a lot of fun, but it's also sort of built up relationships that have existed for a number of years. But I think of the first time I met Hose was, it's been over half a decade now, I bet. And obviously their products and their group has changed quite a lot over those last 5 years. So it's almost like a celebration when they come on to be able to, you know, talk about new products and products that they knew about 2 years ago when I was sitting in their office drooling about for that year. They're like, yeah, wait till you see 3 years from now. I'm like, you can't do that to me right now. So, but yeah, I shared a story about hitting a prototype head with him. It was just kind of a special moment where he took me down and showed me this really cool thing that looked nothing like a golf club you'd see at a big retailer. And I hit it, and then he scared the hell out of me in his Mercedes, which was a lot of fun. Yeah, so that means a lot, Hose. I really appreciate it if you are listening. A couple of years ago, I was introduced to the UST Mamiya Link Shaft and the gunmetal finish, and the performance was pretty awesome. Their Q comes from their Q-Fiber technology, which they've actually carried over into their new offering, the Link M40X. I could talk all about fiber strength and tensile modulus to represent what M40X is, but in terms we can actually understand, it's about taking away that boardy feel and delivering increased energy into the golf ball. UST Mamiya brings Link M40X to the table with three launch and finish offerings: black for low launch, blue for mid launch, and red for mid high launch. For more information on the Link Shaft and all their graphite offerings, visit www.ustmamiya.com.
Jose is definitely a fan of the show, and I appreciate him getting that back to me. Now, switching sides a little bit is the retailer side. And you've been behind the scenes of that too with our friends at Budget Golf. And we've talked retail a lot because it's very different from the OEM side.
Can we call them friends? They cost me a lot of money. They're always
giving us
deals.
They cost you slightly less because you have a coupon to use.
I do have coupons, yeah, from THPers, the Albatross Club there. They cost me money, Joshua. So I don't know. I know where you're going with this, but I'm about to spend more. It's a problem.
When you think back at the retail landscape of golf, how has it changed for you over these last 2 years of Off Course or your time on THP when you walk into a store, whether it be, you know, a Worldwide or whether you've had the chance to go to Budget or online shopping? What has the landscape for Dan changed as far as shopping?
Yeah, I've definitely been more greedy about what I want. And it's my perspective is, first of all, you have relationships that have grown, whether it's from a club company or an apparel company or whatever it may be. And then you start to like absolutely obsess. So like, Puma, if we're running back to Cobra a little bit, Cloudspun, like that is, I feel like 10 years ago, material was sort of irrelevant. You went for the, I mean, back then I was probably wearing Nike or Adidas or,
you went for the lightest, most moisture wicking type of material you could find.
Exactly. And I feel like companies now, like, my two favorite companies right now to wear are probably Travis Matthew and Puma. And I do that for a very specific reason in terms of the quality they have. Like my hats, I always go to Trav. My quarter zips, I just looked in my closet upstairs and I've got like 12 to 15 Cloudspun all pushed off to the right. And it's like, those are the go-to, you know what I mean? So having the ability to go in there and learn about that product and see it and have access to it. I feel like it's, and especially when they come out like Budget does, and do you remember they sold the crewnecks, the Cloudspun crewnecks for like $40?
Yeah.
And there's like a mad dash of THPers going to buy it.
Oh, I definitely remember that.
Yeah, I bet your wallet does too. So, you know, that's always a really exciting thing. Number one, you get to see what's new and great. I'm about to go buy some Alpha Cats from them. But then they have sales a lot and you get to experience some of the other products you might not. Which I love, and I think that's what's changed most. Where I used to go to just outlet stores and buy familiar brands, now I'm going and experiencing really nice sales on products I'm not super familiar with, taking chances, and I mean, who knows where it goes from there, you know?
Well, Ryan Liberty from Budget had this to say. Dan, this is a really good quote too.
He's probably sassy, isn't he?
Well, I mean, leave it to Ryan to turn this quote into something about Ryan.
Okay, perfect.
Dan, thanks for allowing me to have my 15 seconds of fame on the podcast. When you look like me, you don't get a lot of people asking to hear what you think. In all seriousness, what makes your questions different from others is how you prepare and ask things from a golf nut point of view. That goes back to the lunatic fringe. You are the exact opposite of cookie cutter. I listen because I know that things are going to be talked about that I never considered. Keep up the good work and how much I appreciate the breath of fresh air this podcast is.
Wow. Wow, Ryan. Wow. First of all, we should get him back on. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And, you know, we have an event coming up with them later this year that I can genuinely say for those listening, I haven't planned it at all. We've tried a couple times and it keeps, you know, there's been some delays here and there, but we have something really special planned. It would be a great time to have him come on and talk because the retail landscape right now is very different than it has been over the last couple of years. And he can offer insights into what's selling, what's not selling, and how things are changing. As at the time of this recording, we are in higher prices, inflation, gas costs, a war going on overseas, than things we haven't really dealt with in the past. We went from sales are decent to a pandemic where if it's not bolted down, people are trying to buy the shelves that the clubs are held on, to how is it going now? And I think he probably would be a pretty good guest. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah. I love that he can provide a totally different take than what we're used to, especially not from an OEM perspective, but from a buyer's perspective, someone in between the two of us, basically. It's exciting, man. And he's a trip to listen to. Like, he mentioned that he gets to experience things that maybe aren't an avenue he'd typically take. I feel the same way when he comes on. I think he provides a perspective that none of us really think about because we don't have to, right? We don't have to worry about what's happening then and now. Yeah. you know, hearing some of the stuff, people come on and say, well, the color that everyone's going to be into next year is this color. I'm like, how the hell do you know that? The same idea with Ryan. Like, the things people are going to be buying in June are this. I'm like, how the hell do you know that?
So I'm friendly with Ryan and I'm friendly with a lot of other people in that position, the marketing buyer type of position at these retail stores. And I was talking to one who's not Ryan the other day, or I guess this would be like 6 months ago now. We were talking about the upcoming 2022 releases. They had gone through their pre-line sales. And he said, we were talking about wedges. And he said, I can tell you right now what's going to be first, second, third, and everything else, because the pitch is so dead on. The messaging is great. The tech is cool. The sound is great. And they are so in tune with it. And they've been doing it for so long. Ryan can tell me at the beginning of the year who's got the best marketing coming up. He's pretty good about not sharing product info. So while I hate that about him, but I also love it about him. But you know,
respect that too, because that's very much the identity that THP has held for a long time, is respecting his embargoes. Yeah.
And honor embargo. You know, somebody asked me this, and not to get too far off course,
this is what we do, man.
Why I'm so such a believer in that, because it's not my responsibility to maintain an embargo date. It's the company's. And I said, I've always had the same rule, which is, if something comes up and it's not a watermarked image, have fun with it. If you want to go post it and get feedback. I'm fine. I don't have a problem with that. When it comes to the actual information coming from us, I do struggle with breaking an embargo date. And the reason being is, you are not just impacting the lunatic fringe that wants to see a picture. You have to remember about the salesperson who's still trying to sell the previous line, and you're leaking an image of something that might not come out for 6 months, you know? There's so much more that goes into it. And I always want to never forget the smaller person, and smaller is not really the right word, but all the people. I never want to forget anybody. So I'm a believer in that. If you're going to leak an image of something that comes out 9 months from now, you're going to take away from a product that's a lot of people, money, and everything else has been put into to be glossed over. That's where I've always struggled a little bit. I'm not against it. It's not my responsibility, but if I'm given the choice, I'm going to honor it.
Yeah, I want to tackle that a little bit, because there's also a big part where people make quick decisions on something and struggle to get away from that. And if you can't advertise or market properly, and I think here's a really good example. Mizuno just came out with their Omoe putters, the putter lineup, which James, check out his feedback on the forum from that product. And a lot of people saw that early on and they saw Omoe and they just assumed M-O-I.
Right.
The big story of Omoe, first of all, no one pronounced it right, but it's actually a Japanese word for heavy. And the idea is they brought a heavy putter to market. So the bigger story is the weight, the profile. And you know, people just see MOI and they're like, oh, it's, you know, higher MOI putter. Well, you miss half the story. And I remember talking with Chris before our show or my off course with him released, but it was still under embargo. So I wasn't really talking about the putters. So I knew all about them, but I'm trying to respect that. And a thread pops up and I'm like, yeah, it's not how you pronounce that. Nope. Yeah, but I can't really say anything. You're just kind of waiting. And it's a cool story. So it's almost like a disservice to not be able to get the full depth of the story before it actually comes out, because it's just things we don't understand and we need to learn about before we can judge, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the nature of the beast. And going back to one somebody I gave a quote from earlier, Mr. Jason Finley, he talked about internet street cred,
yeah,
and how it's real, and the idea of beat the public is important. And listen, that's all great. I'm cool with all of it. We have an online community. We don't censor. As long as it's not watermarked, talk away. With that said, at the same time, we want to make sure that you get the information, the pronunciation, a finalized picture. How many times have we seen a leaked picture put out there and it looks nothing like what you and I know the finished product looks like?
Yeah.
I've always said that about the USGA, why it's open to the public to see the upcoming releases once they've been conforming, I will never understand. It should be hidden so the other OEMs can see it. But I just don't, once it's been approved, I don't see why it needs to be on there. But
for sure,
listen, people in higher power, more powerful jobs than me are making that decision. And when I see stuff like that, I always say, well, you're not going to see any color. You're not going to see any tech. It's not going to have any imagery or anything like that. It's a complete guesswork. And there's a lot of educated people with the science online now, and they can make educated guesses, but I think we're jumping to a conclusion on something that's not coming for a while.
I should have posted the picture of that fully titanium head that Jose let me hit. Like, look what's coming from Cobra. It's just this yeah, block of metal.
There's nothing to it. I remember being at TaylorMade years and years ago. This is probably going back a decade. And they brought out this driver that had no crown. And it was a sole. Yeah, it was like a frame, like a skeleton. Uh-huh. And it had a sole. And you hit it. And you could hit it. It was totally hittable. It looked weird as can be. And then I was at another company that's no longer with us, and I won't say the name because it wasn't a club company. It was a shaft company, and they had created what they called the perfect driver. And it was the entire driver was carbon, face, head, everything, except the bottom was solid tungsten.
Oh, weird.
And
hammered that CG.
Oh, yeah. And you could dial in launch and everything so easy. Now, of course, to create that, they were telling me the retail price would have been something like $1,200.
I was
going to
guess $1,200.
It was going to be so expensive. So they never brought it to market, but it was cool as can be.
Wow.
That was a very cool office. So, you know, all these things wrap up back to a little bow of, you know, you can see whatever you want, but to make judgment, I always say you should at least get the information. And the Mizuno putter is the perfect example of that.
Yeah, for sure. That was a nice little off course. We had to do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the companies that just recently put out equipment and didn't get, I guess, burned by early pictures was Toric, the Exotics.
Yeah.
And you've been playing one of their irons in the long iron spot in your bag for a long time, or one of your utilities, right?
Yeah, it's 3-iron from the C722, I think.
721. Yeah, 722 is the one that just came out.
721, right. You know, I've got 722 in my mind because they just brought out the stunning fairway wood. And I don't know what it is, dude, but there's something about writing a letter or a number on the top of a head. Seeing 722 as the alignment aid, it just gets me so fired up. I don't know what it is about it. It's beautiful looking at that. Normally,
there's a lot
think
of polarizing things about that alignment aid on a metal wood. Like some
Hell
people
yeah.
like nothing. Some people like an aid. Some people like the company logo, let's say like a Mizuno bird or the
Callaway
Chev.
When it goes really far and forward. That's what I like. But yeah, so the three iron, and it, dude, it's a monster. I mean, it's crazy how much.
Well, you've had John Claffey on the show.
Yep.
And I reached out to John and he said 100 episodes, question mark. I feel like I'm doing talk to text where you got to say a question mark at the end. We knew Dan had a lot to say about golf, but this is ridiculous. Keep it up, Canadan. I love the show and can't wait to be on again to help you wax poetic about all things golf industry.
Man, you told me that there would be quotes coming and you told me there was a bit of sass built in. I didn't see it coming from Claffey, so I love that.
And when people get to hear this, John will have just done a live stream with us. We haven't done that
I'll be
yet.
In that. I'll be in those comments. Don't you I worry bet. About that.
Yeah. It'll be rather unique considering the general public haven't heard this yet. But we have a lot of content coming up on that, the 722 line, both E and C. And I expect people to really like it. It's a very unique line. Yeah. I believe this brings them back to their roots fairway wood-wise, but doesn't take away from their recent success with irons or metalwoods.
Speaking of soul weighting, there's some serious activity going on the base of that head.
Yeah, definitely unique. And I have a feeling when people get a chance to try it, they will be fairly stunned.
Yeah.
Now, you just talked about Chris Fischel. He's your, I guess you'd call him a rival.
He's my THP tech studio rival is what it is.
Yeah, and what we affectionately know as a game, a pillow fight, because you guys both splashed on the Coeur d'Alene Island hole, which effectually splashed twice, though.
I did not. I don't remember
sure
that.
You did.
Nah.
Yeah, it happened.
Not me.
And now that's named Lake Vosh.
Yes, it is.
Chris was a guest. He's been a guest two or three times.
I think it's twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Most recently on the putters that we were just discussing. And Chris had this to say: huge props to Canadan on 100 awesome episodes. Every time I listen to him, which is probably only his shows. I'm just kidding. He's full of great, insightful thoughts, but even more than that, he makes it entertaining. Having been fortunate enough to be a guest on Off Course a few times, it's given that each conversation will be fun and unique and will inevitably spin off into some random but great direction. I mean, that's Off Course.
Yeah.
Congrats again on the first 100 of undoubtedly many, many more. Keep up the awesome stuff, Dan.
He's part of the Finn squad too.
Yeah, he was part of the, he's a definite Finn guy. And I actually, little known to the public, I have a video of him crashing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I have a video from his point of view.
I have a video of him. We're at the 18th of Caledonia. And I'm just taking pictures of the clubhouse because it's gorgeous from the fairway to look at it, right? And then I switched to video, and then there's Chris just crossing the entire thing, kind of looking at me, standing up on his Finn scooter. It's so funny, man. He's such a good guy.
So when he first got on his Finn scooter, this was his first time riding one.
Yeah.
He wanted to record with his phone as he was taking off. Well, the only recording is him crashing as soon as he took off. And that's fantastic. But so, I wanted to get some quotes from some of your memorable guests that people have enjoyed. And I reached out and they were able to do so. Looking back at your 100 episodes, hearing the people talk about it, what do you think, what's in store for the next 100?
Oh, man. I mean, it's a thrill to provide a sort of vessel for folks to come in and share their insights in their field and the products that they sell, because we're obviously all hungry to learn about them. I think the next 100, it's just going to continue to develop into a closer connection between what I want to present for golf and what the companies want to come and chat with me about. And I feel like Vosh is a great example. Verska is a great example. Guys who've been on numerous times. Every time they come on, it seems like it gets a little bit more personal, and it gets a little bit more friendly and casual. And I think the best way to learn about golf is through a casual conversation. When Off Course turned the page, I guess you could say, I had one goal in mind, is that was to make sure the identity was still the same. And every time I have a guest on, especially if they're not familiar with the show, I said, our goal here is, like, we just played a round of golf. We're going in for a beer or an iced tea or whatever you drink. And the conversation could go any direction, with the exception of, the things we don't want to talk about, race, religion, politics, that kind of thing,
Yeah.
And most of them are pretty happy to hear that, by the way.
They deal with it enough in life, I'm sure.
Yeah. So keeping that identity is really important to me. I want people to enjoy the conversations and be both intrigued and surprised by the content that comes out of it. But yeah, I think sky's the limit for me. I'm here for the long haul or long haul. This is a true
is that
passion
a boat
for
reference?
Me. Long haul. No, no, you stop okay. it. It's been a passion of mine and talking with people. It's just genuinely fun to be a part of it. And I'm thrilled that you've trusted me with doing this, Josh.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. I should say Morgan. Thank you. My rock.
When you look back at the 100 and you're like me, you're not a big reminiscing kind of guy about this stuff. Give me one moment that stands out. Good, bad, ugly, whatever. Give me one moment.
Oh, geez. How could I possibly nail that down?
Well, you're going to try. We can still got time left.
Man.
I mean, Wobbly Caucasian came right to my head.
Well, so there's an identity I've created that every show I say something really stupid or forget something that's really simple. Like today's foam fingers is a good example. Wobbly Caucasian.
Do you have the cheering sound effect or
I need to start writing down every stupid thing I say on the show. And it's like at some point we'll do a contest, like an Easter egg hunt. Like find five things I genuinely said that were either
there's
dumb or in
there's a Seinfeld episode, and if Vosh is listening or Adam Rayberg is listening, they'll get this reference because they're big Seinfeld fans like me, where he woke up in the middle of the night and wrote down a joke in a notepad next to his bed. And basically the entire episode is him showing this note to everybody, trying to have them decipher what it is he wrote, because nobody knows. Nobody can tell.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I figure this going. You'll write something down. You'll be like, now what was that? I wrote finger. What does finger have to do with anything?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty good. No, I think if there's one thing I get the most joy out of it, and it's not like like a moment, it's every time someone says, and this is either in person when I'm at my golf course and a random member comes up and says, hey, I listen to your show, it's pretty cool. Like, you what? You know, and I do that. Like, that's crazy. But THPers oftentimes will reach out or in the threads and just say there's something about what I did and part of a show that made a difference for them. I mean, that is everything to me. Number one, I don't know why anyone listens to me talk, but they do. So far as I know,
we haven't figured it out either.
Yeah, we still not sorted that one out, and I hope we don't. So, just those little tiny moments of clarity for me to know that I am making an impact. Someone saying, I think it was J-Mix in the forum today saying that Friday is off course day, and to me that Friday identifies as off course for them. That is such a thrill. I mean, that is why I love doing this. So
it's kind of funny you say that. I remember this is going back almost a decade, and I was in the airport and I was sitting in my seat, and I look over next to me and there's a businessman waiting to board the plane also. And I look and he's got his laptop open and he was reading one of our reviews. He was reading our homepage, our website. And I didn't say anything. I never would.
That's mine.
But it does. It reminds you of that there are people out there who care. And whether that be to read, to listen, whatever it is, you have subscribers and they care about your input. And you've been able to accumulate a great lineup of guests that are, as you said earlier, smarter than both of us, who can help, dispel a lot of the internet myths that exist.
Right.
In fake science and stuff like that, that might not really happen. And I go back to when you had, a Shaft person on and you were talking about it. And they're like, that's not real. And, I think that those kind of conversations are so organic. And it is, like you said, just sitting there having a golf conversation, because when you and I have been able to visit with these experts and industry people, we do just sit and have these conversations. We probably should be getting some work done, but we never do. Right. I mean, we do, but it's usually after all you and I go off course with them and discuss a million other topics. And that's really what it comes down to. And it's kind of taken the ball and run with it from, we had podcasts on THP 12 and 13 years ago. It's kind of crazy to think about, but you've taken this ball and run with it and brought a different spotlight. And for that, we internally say thank you. And I'm excited for the next 100. I'm excited to find, as the industry changes, being able to look back and have a catalog library of how things have evolved. Have you gone back and listened to any early shows to hear what your thoughts were then and how they've evolved?
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of my closest friends on the planet 2 days ago about Off Course, and he listens, even though he's not really that involved with golf. He loves golf, but he's not that involved with it. And we got discussing it, and he asked me about listening back to some of my episodes. And like, honestly, man, the idea of having to listen to myself talk is part of why I don't understand why people actually want to hear me talk, because I just hate doing it.
So, is it the accent? It's probably the accent.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, when I stumble all over myself is probably the real problem. But no, I think I try to listen to every episode at least once or twice to make sure that I hit the nail on the head and that I can improve for the next one. But no, I've never gone back to listen to an early one. That's a fun idea. If I've got nothing better to do, like really nothing better to do.
So I got some questions I want to ask you about behind the scenes, and then we'll wrap this up because obviously we're getting long in the tooth here. When you're preparing for a guest, because multiple quotes talked about you being prepared, how many questions do you have written out for a guest, and and how many don't get answered or asked?
Is this for an industry guest or you?
Yes, an industry guest.
For you, I put at least 15 down, and I just save those for other episodes because I know we're not going to talk about any of them.
Right.
What I like to do for industry guests is have somewhere between 10 and 20 ideas between their history, whether it's in golf or just in life, the products they are heavily involved in, researching some of the concepts there. And usually I look for something that maybe is intriguing about a product that needs to be expanded on to help support and understand the concept around it. So I would say if I have less than 10, I've not done my homework. But if I've done more than 20, I'm preparing for a double episode, I guess you could say. And I like to think that for the most part, 75% get hit. And I would say 90% of the actual golf content gets hit.
When you think of your interview and let's say you have your interview done and you just finished interviewing fill in the blank industry person, you stop record, you talk with them for a little bit, you say goodbye. What's the first thing? Is it always replaying the show in your head? What did I forget? What are you thinking about there?
First thing is I need to tell you, cause you make me tell you everything. When the show's done, when you can start editing, when you can be done editing, and when it can be ready for Friday.
For those following along, prod him to be better with this communication.
Yeah. So, no, the funny thing, and this is my favorite part, and I know that we get an unlocked version of these folks every time they come on, but there's like a whole nother level. And this includes just pure comfort, I think, for a lot of people is, I wish that I could hit stop and like fake the stop and then just continue recording for another 30 minutes or whatever it is, because the casual banter from some of these folks is just absolute gold. That's my thought almost every time is I wish I could have got that 10 minute soundbite.
I remember we were going to go back to in the first 6 months, 8 months of the show, you had somebody on, and it's not anybody would remember from the golf club industry or anything like that. And we were talking after the show and you said it was good. He was great. He's super personable. And you said, I stopped the recording and then he was the nicest, funniest guy you would ever have. And none of that came through on the show. Do you remember that?
100%. I think about that every single week. 100%.
That's the one that stands out. And I think part of that is how we've gotten to know people in person before you press record.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, as people evolve and they have a different message, and that message may have to be very clean and politically correct, we'll do that. I think, you know, there's only one thing left to do, and that's like build out a studio and have these people in person every week. But
so we can double record. That's perfect.
I'm going to finish this off with one last question.
Okay.
What's your goal?
Wow.
Not in life in general, with the Off Course podcast. And I don't want you to give some clean response of I don't really set those.
No, I do. The readers, 100%
the listeners deserve this.
I definitely set goals. My goal early on was to make it count, make every episode count, whether that was someone I was really excited about getting on, whether that was a personal friend in the industry that I was getting on, or whether I was just having to deal with another week of talking to you. Like it all meant the idea was that I was fully committed to every episode that I did. And
we call those ratings killers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's me. So that was truly and genuinely my goal, is to number one, improve every week on the way I asked and presented questions. And number two, to make sure that every single episode counted. I never wanted to just throw a week. I think my goal now is we hit one, an extra zero. Let's go for the next one, man. If I can eventually talk you into more than one episode a week, I should lead with 500. Let's start at 500. The goal is longevity. The goal is longevity. I want everyone to enjoy this show. I'm constantly looking for feedback. I am eager to add any type of person to the discussion, because I think being a part of Lunatic Fringe, it's fun to get every angle. So yeah, exploring new ideas, I guess, is my next step.
That was the most politically correct answer. You sound like Nuclealution, the movie Bull Durham.
You are hearing total honesty, man.
Well, I'm not. The audience appreciates that. I'm taking it one game at a time.
I'm not saying it like that. We just, everything was running real good. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah. Well, we are honored to have you on our website and network, and I look forward to the next 100. As everybody knows, I do listen to every single episode. And I actually am a subscriber. For those that aren't, subscribe and like it on, you know, Apple Podcasts, regardless of where you get it, or SoundCloud, you can subscribe there too. But we are excited about what the next full year holds and for the next 100 episodes.
Are we going to bring this video? Is video going to happen this year?
I think that people would like to see the conversation as well as hear it.
If you've made it this far and you're interested in the Off Course podcast going video, let us know.
Yeah. We've talked about it now. I'm a big fan of 100% honesty and transparency with an audience, and it gets me in a lot of trouble sometimes. But Dan and I have talked about this for months, and you know, we have no problem doing it. We use a video service that we subscribe to record. So there's no reason not to, other than it's a different avenue, and we want people to be able to get it the way they want and where the way the majority of the people get it, not just another one of our videos that go out, you know, weekly and different kind of content. So yeah, please let us know if you'd rather watch than listen. I that's the best way to say it. I can tell you, we have some pretty crazy things in the works for video coming up in the future. And, you know, people have seen what we've done so far. You know, we created a tech studio. We bring live content. We do a lot of different things. So I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with what we have planned, but we don't want to plan something if you guys don't have an interest.
That's true. That's fair. Because obviously the goal here is to entertain you and mostly not have to listen to myself talk too much. So if you can think of a guest that talks more than I do, that would be awesome.
So speaking of that, let me ask you this. You're a podcast listener like I am.
Yeah.
Do you watch the podcasts or listen to them?
Depends on how I'm digesting. I will tell you, when I drive down to HQ, that is like primo podcast time for me.
Yeah.
And that obviously means audio only. But if I come back and I'm nowhere near done catching up to that certain podcast, I know a lot of them are video, and I'll definitely go and watch on video, even if it's secondary, because I have screen on screen on screen here. So
yeah. So it's funny because when Morgan and I have had to drive down to Florida a couple times in the last few months, I should say. And that's primo podcasting. I mean, we're talking 9.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
And so we'll get through like a month and a half's worth of a podcast we like. And then we listening to it one of these times, somebody said, hold that up on the screen. And one of the hosts said, well, the listeners can't hear that. And he responded, he's like, nobody cares about them. This is about the YouTube audience. And he was joking, of course, but then you watch it on YouTube or wherever the video, in our case, it would be the forum. It is a different animal. And, you know, it would be weird if they saw you recording this with no shirt on like you are now. I mean,
I've already said I'm wearing Cloudspun. Let's be so, clear. They don't make boxers yet.
As we do with everything else, we will ask you guys, give us your feedback on that.
Cool. Josh, man, thanks for doing this, buddy. Thanks for getting those quotes. That means a lot that they'd be willing to present themselves in such a way that actually makes me sound good. So,
well, I'm glad to do it, and we look forward to the next 100.
Hey, everyone out there, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed the last 100 episodes as much as I have, and maybe even more. If you are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make it count. We are well into aerification season up here in the Midwest. I know it hurts, but green grass is on the horizon. So enjoy it. We'll see you next week, as always.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.